Hello, hello. My name's Gia, and I'm really excited to share this last episode of this season. It's been about 2 months of reflection and growth for me personally, and my hope is that anyone listening can resonate with what I have to offer. One of my biggest values is connectedness, and it's something that I think is the cornerstone of becoming a more evolved human. Everyone comes from very different walks of life, and being able to arrive at a common place with our experiences is really what polishes our lens through which we see ourselves. This is how we learn and grow and live, and with that being said, I'm so stoked to have my first guest, Allison Kendricks. Allison is truly an influencer in the most fundamental sense. As a creative, an advocate, and a lifelong learner, she has a lot of experience to draw from, and in this episode, she shares a lot about the process of integrating her identities as a biracial queer woman, a graduate student, a person of faith, and an active member of her community. She's become one of my closest friends and an actual role model in many ways. Her own podcast, Sherry Ave, is available on anchor.fm, Spotify, or anywhere else you can enjoy podcasts. I hope you enjoy this conversation and that it inspires you as much as it did for me. Till next time, my friends. Peace and love. Let me just pull up my questions. First of all, welcome. I'm so excited that you're doing this.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I'm here with the one and only Allison Kendricks. And I love that I have to say your whole name every time I introduce
yes.
you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have a very powerful name. And
Thank
I've said
you.
That before.
Yes. I think you encouraged the name change on IG, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, did yeah. I?
I think you and some other folks, maybe Ruth too.
Well, it's really powerful. Yeah.
No, I like my name. I'm lucky. A lot of people want to change their name. I've never wanted to change my name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Lucked out.
Okay, so as you know, this podcast is about self-evolution. Like, that is the central theme to my podcast.
Okay.
You know this.
Yes. No, I do know this, but I don't know if I knew you were framing it in that way.
Yeah.
Yes. Self-evolution.
Yeah. Just to give some context, Allison has no idea what questions I'm about to ask her.
Yes.
But I do think that she has a lot to say about many things. And this is pertaining to your life, so... Okay, so tell me about a period of your life that you feel you underwent the most significant change.
Ooh.
Sorry, it's noon on a Sunday.
After a long weekend. A long weekend of dancing and festivities.
Were you ready to answer
this
question?
Yeah, I know. When did your whole life change? Okay, so you're saying a period where I experienced the most transformation, like within myself.
However you interpret it.
My first thought is... my second year of grad school, so like maybe 2015 and 2017, maybe I think I was going through the most internalized struggle ever. And then therefore really changed, I think, as a person all around. So I was dealing with my sexuality, I was starting a new graduate program, I kind of had like this a pretty strong belief system up until I was like 22, 23, that was pretty consistent, stayed the same. Nothing had like rattled it, really. I'd had a lot of, there's like definitely things that happened in my childhood growing up or like high school years, but nothing had made me go, I don't know if I can do this anymore or believe this anymore or think these certain things anymore.
Yeah.
And that's like, my faith was integrated into every single, every decision that I made, everything that I did, every job opportunity, every work opportunity, school opportunity, everything was highly, highly spiritualized. And so when things were not lining up with what I anticipated or expected, and my cries to God for help and my cries to, like, everything weren't happening, I was like, maybe this is not...
Wow.
Maybe this ain't gonna work. And not that I was, like, demanding that God be a genie and fix my problems. Like, yeah. That's not the type of faith that I had. But it was very much so, like, the form of theology that shamed pieces of my whole identity. Mm. I could not tolerate anymore as a queer person.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it pushed me to the brink.
That is... Those are some really significant catalysts.
Yeah.
I think... Could you give a little bit of context as far as, like, your upbringing in religion?
Sure. Yeah, so I'm a PK, meaning a pastor's kid. My dad was a worship pastor growing up and was in seminary while I was a child. And both my families came from fairly religious families who were, like, in ministry or working at churches. And honestly, my experience with that was, like, great. Every time you tell someone, like, oh, you're a PK... they would be like, oh, that must suck, or like, that was crazy. But to me, it was really fun. I was an extroverted kid. My dad worked at really, really big churches. And so it was like a chance to, like, be around people, be in programs. So I loved Sunday school. Like, you know, like, I actually really enjoyed church. And so much so that I picked a college that was literally church 24/7. And so, and my father was pretty cool about letting us learn about God in a certain way that it wasn't dogmatic for him. Like, it wasn't like, this is what you need to believe and that's it. Like, he really wanted us to have our own relationship and our own, like, you know, progression, which was cool. But there was obviously a lot of messages that were given at that time. Being raised as a 90s kid, early 2000s kid, purity movement ruined everything in terms of, like, repressing sexuality or any type of, like, healthy sexual conversations. So that kind of formulated, like, my background. But then I chose a Christian college.
Yeah.
Willingly.
We both did.
Yeah, we both did. And my parents were like, why are you choosing this really strict college? I'm like, because y'all taught me, you know, these things.
So they were questioning it.
Even. Yeah, they were like, this is kind of odd. Like,
why was it odd for you? I feel like that would be expected.
I don't know. I really don't know why they thought it was so odd. I think they wanted me to be an adult and have, like, regular experiences, but they also still raised me in a pretty, like, fundamentalist evangelical space. So I think, like, maybe what they anticipated, I don't know if they knew I was going to believe it as hard as I did, if that makes sense. So, and there might have been a little, like, subconscious self-punishment that I was trying to do or put myself in an environment where I felt like I could hold on to my faith.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I felt like if I were to go to a regular school, quote unquote regular school, I would just lose my faith completely.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was I've done some reflection on that.
Yeah. On that part. No, yeah. I could tell.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. And I felt that kind of deep down. So that's my background of leading into that space. And then for me, like, my biggest lesson I'm telling people, deal with your stuff, is, like, my body physically was telling me I could no longer operate the way that I was operating.
Mm.
So I was ignoring myself or ignoring my identity and just, like, pushing everything spiritually, and I was physically becoming ill because of it.
So that was my next question, was, it seems like you were fighting something that you grew up with your entire life with something that was, like, new, but I guess the whole queerness and your sexuality wasn't new.
No, it wasn't new. No, it was always there, but I don't think that I just can't describe the levels of repression
right.
that a lot of people were operating in, yeah. not just me. So to me, like, my focuses were sports, school, my faith, and, like, making sure all those things are integrated and my family life and all that stuff. So to have those things fully, like, explode, like, my whole view explode in front of my face, obviously you can't do anything but grow, you know.
Yeah.
It's really painful, but I'm so thankful for it, because my life has just been that much more rich because of it.
Right.
Yeah.
So you were talking about your body and being kind of in touch with what's going on in your mind and what's going on with your body. So during those years of, like, very, like, peaked transformation, do you feel like that was a merging of those two?
Yeah, being connected to my body more.
And what was that like? And did you have a support system?
Did I have a support system? No, I did. I did have a support system. I did have friends. I think, like, even my first year in my new job where I was outside of my college setting and around other people that didn't grow up like me, they were able to kind of just affirm me and make things seem really normal.
Mm.
And that was really encouraging. Like, stuff that I was feeling in my body or feeling sexually or feeling, like, physically, they would just be like, yeah, that happens. Or, like, that just normalizing things that I thought were maybe really weird or really big deal things, you know, as much as possible, trying to integrate and not disassociate from what my body's feeling.
Yeah.
Like, you're literally taught to disassociate from your natural needs as a, like, person of faith, typically.
Yeah.
You know? And not all the time, like, but a lot. You're taught to deny natural urges or other things, and it's seen as sinful. So, yeah, I was reconnecting things that felt really good. I didn't, you know, I would feel guilty for those things feeling good, or I would feel physically ill around when things were not making me feel good, or I felt emotionally unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was brand new development at that time, like completely brand new. So then I was learning how to communicate with myself, like my own body, like, oh, your body feels like this and you need to pay attention to
right.
it. And that's still an ongoing process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it gets easier every time.
Totally. I think it's a lot better now. I have a lot less shame around things. Mm-hmm. I can communicate them well. Sometimes things are embarrassing, you know?
No, but one of the things that I admire about you most is the fact that you're not shameful about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that comes from a place of growth.
Totally.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
When did you feel like you've kind of mastered having to listen to your body and, like, respond in a way that, like, your body needed you to?
This summer? No, I'm just kidding. I don't think I've mastered it fully. I think I'm a lot more aware of it.
Mm.
I'm getting better at it.
Okay.
But I think the last 5 years of my life has been, like, intentionally been focused on listening to my body's needs and, like, what's going on and how I'm feeling.
Wow, yeah.
And, like, I feel better for it. Like, the years that I was denying or not losing, I was, like, the skinniest I'd been because I couldn't eat well or I couldn't, like, operate well. I couldn't, like, work out well. And to me, like, even if my body's bigger right now as it's ever been, I feel more connected to it. I feel like I don't worry as much about certain things. I don't get nauseous all the time. You know, like, everything's kind of, like, slowly coming together.
That's so wholesome. It is. My heart is so full right now because I feel like you're taking me on this journey of, like, I don't think we've ever fleshed this out. Like, I know that you went through all this turmoil as far as, like, your queerness and, like, trying to marry the two worlds.
Yes.
Between, like, your spirituality and your sexuality.
Yes.
Which those are, you know, separation, like, big separation.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you have to compromise one or the other a lot of the time now, coming from that place?
No, I don't feel like I'm compromising anything. I feel like I'm rebuilding certain things. So I feel like I've focused on building my sexuality for the last 5 years, very intentionally, 6 years, more like 6 years. And I have been deconstructing my faith in certain ways. And it's okay. Like, I should be prioritizing those things in that way for right now. And maybe myself 7 years ago would be like, no, like, only keep spirituality first, you know? And that's not how I feel. So I've been deconstructing while constructing and being very intentional about building.
I love that imagery. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, I don't know. I think that I think of things. I have a very linear mind. Like, I just think, like, things will happen one step after another and you just keep, like, moving forward and building upon who you were.
Sure.
But, like, the idea of that you are, like, there are these different facets of yourself, and then you, like, deconstruct one and build on another. That's, I love that.
Yeah.
That's a very new image to me.
I've never been linear, really.
And I love that.
Yeah, but also, like, I think I've grown up in, like, integrated worlds. Like, my racial identity has always been integrated.
Mm.
My, like, yeah, just, like, my gender, like, other things. I've learned that not everything is so simple, black and white, and that there are phases to things or times to focus on building other aspects.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just something I independent. It's not just sexuality, too. Like, that comes in all the forms. Like, once I started building on my sexuality, it was, like, my career was changing in a different way. My relationships were getting better with my family. Like, my friendships were getting better. Like, and I, you know, I really valued my friendships, but I think all those facets of my life got better.
Because you were being more authentic.
Yes, completely. Completely. And I'm in a more creative space now, too, a more authentic space. You know, people are probably tired of me talking about my queerness and my spirituality. No. But I think that it's just in such a beautiful space right now that I'm really proud of. Like, I'm at a space where I'm really, really proud. And I'm also feeling more confident. Like, I'm more of a late teenager, early, you know, early adulthood in this space when, like, 6 years ago, I felt like an infant, like a literal child.
Wow.
Yeah. So I feel better about where I am.
This feels real good talking about it. It's like saying that you're proud, and it's June 2021. Yeah.
Facts. Pride Month.
It's Pride Month.
Yeah.
Can I just say that we started off very hesitant to dive that deep, and you just ripped it to shreds? Can I just say that for the record?
Deep, though.
I know you don't mind, but I didn't know that. I mean, I should stop being surprised.
Yeah.
You just drop that on me. Anyway, are you ready for the next question?
Yeah,
am I ready for the next question?
I don't know. Are you?
I feel like we could end it here. No, I'm just kidding. That was so profound, though. What's something in the last year that you've committed to in order to be a better version of yourself?
Committed to in order to become a better version of myself.
Because I know, I mean, we all had one hell of a year, but...
Yeah, no, I think I've committed to my ethics around how I want to work and operate in the world. So this past year, I took off from work, and I've worked... and never given myself a break and been all the way through school. And something in me when the pandemic started was just like, I don't think I should be working during these conditions. And like, this is a very privileged thing to say, but I, you know, I had some money saved up and I had a family that was willing to, you know, help provide if I needed it this year and help out. And I was like, man, I don't want to put myself in a situation where I don't feel like I'm going to be putting students' best interests at heart, or I feel like I'm going to be safe. And so like, I've been really committed to not jumping into something that doesn't feel right, not jumping into a job or a role that was not going to respect who I was as a person or my growth or my goals. And it's not like I'm looking for the absolute perfect job, because sometimes that doesn't exist. But I think I've been really committed to my own self-care during a freaking pandemic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's such a privileged thing to say, but I could have just had my pride in the way and been like, I'm not moving home and I'm gonna just keep struggling, or I'm gonna put myself at risk or my family at risk and go out and work whatever. And what it's allowed me to do is think of creative projects, be more connected to my family, be more connected with my body, and listen in a certain way where now I'm getting things done that I was never able to do while I was committed to my work. And I found now work in other forms, like in my other passions.
Yeah.
So that's what I think I've been committed mostly to, my self-care, my own self-care and my like own self-preservation at a time where like we all could have died.
Seriously.
You know what I mean? Like, no, literally, literally could have died. Like, I did get COVID. Like, I could have lost my life this year. I moved across the country by myself. Like, there are a lot of things that could have happened to me, and you know, I'm thankful that I was able to have this time to just like pause and give myself a pause.
Yeah.
And be committed to that and like do yoga or like, you know, feel like my primary like position as a friend and as a family member was that role was fulfilled. That may be a little all over the place, but that's what I feel like I've been committed to.
It's refreshing, just because like I think it's really easy to resort to this negative mindset where you're just like, I'm stuck in the house.
Yeah.
I'm bored in the house and I'm in the house bored.
Bored and up and up and up. Yeah,
but
I was definitely bored.
Yeah, but you turned it into something much more productive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And fortunately, yeah, I was able to turn it into something productive. Create a podcast. Create, you know, buy more books from Black and queer people, and like reformulate my own education on my own time, and
yeah,
you know, like just things like that.
Which Allison. I don't know how many years anyone's, like, dedicated to education, but, like, Allison Kendricks is the most educated person I know. Like, all of our conversations are just...
And in this documentary, and with this podcast,
this article, we were FaceTiming, and she read an essay to me.
Yeah, I did. Bring my friends, you know, my family.
Yeah.
I don't have that many degrees. I'm not the most educated, but I'm a lifelong learner.
Yeah.
I really have a very educated
mindset. Like, you have a very, yeah, a lifelong mm-hmm. learner
yeah.
mindset. Mm-hmm. Me, I finished school, I was like, done.
Well, no,
and I will never have to know this again.
Well, I mean, I work in academic settings.
True.
So it's important to stay up on the know, because yeah. then you get embarrassed. Like, there's interviews or things that I've done in the past, like, even the past 3 years, where I said things and I was like, man, I did not read enough to be saying any of those things yet. Mm. You know what I mean? And it's okay. Like, I have compassion for myself in those time periods, but, you know, I just want to keep getting better or making yeah. sure that I am more aware and, like, honoring the work that has been done before me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I've been committed to as well.
Yeah.
You know, all the authors and people that have been
No, it's very admirable. It really is.
Trying.
Okay.
What's your other question? All right,
this is the last question.
Oh, only three.
Yeah. What do you want for yourself in 10 years? That sounds like, you know, that typical job interview question.
It does.
But I don't mean it in a way of, like, your career. I don't mean it in a way. I'm talking about self-evolution.
Totally.
Like, what do you look like in 10 years?
Okay, so actually I was talking to my aunt about this week, and she was asking me the same question, like, do you see yourself married? Do you see yourself having kids? Kind of like stereotypical questions.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what's so interesting is before maybe even the last, like, 5 years, I used to not be able to picture my life past my late 20s. Like, I had no visual of what I was going to look like. I had no visual of me getting old. I had no visual of who I was going to be with. Like, I kind of just, as a kid, was like, oh, go to high school, you go to college, I'll probably get a master's. And, like, my vision of myself kind of stopped in my late 20s. And I was creeped out by it. And I was like, oh, like, am I going to die young? Like, am I going to, you know, like, those kind of weird existential questions
you start having. So you didn't really have a reason for it at the time?
No, I didn't know why. And then coming out, I was like, oh, I didn't have a visual of myself because I didn't know myself fully.
Oh,
right?
My God.
I didn't know what my life could look like without this imagery of what we've always seen of, like, you get married and you know, you're in your church and you're committed, all this stuff. So now being a queer person and, like, being out and being integrated with myself and finding my own style again and, like, my friends start to joke with me, and they're like, oh, like, Allison's gonna be so swaggy when she gets older. Like, yo, she's gonna be that OG
You know,
she's gonna be that OG lesbian that just, like, has, like, the sneakers on or the button up and uh-huh. is, like, still killing. And I was like, oh, my God, like, I'm starting to have a better visual and excited about that time period. I don't have a full picture yet, but I'm just starting to be able to dream about what that's gonna look like. So for me, this is a long answer to your short question.
No.
But for me, I think in 10 years, I more so see my friendships and my relationships. Like, I see my career. Like, okay, I want to be established in my career. I want to be public speaking. I want to be out, like, doing tours or, like, doing big projects and kind of doing something for the community. But I also see myself either living with or near or around my queer tribe and my friends and my family, and that seems really important to me, more than, like, oh, I see myself with a partner or I see myself with kids, which I don't think I necessarily see myself with kids. It could happen, but I don't really see it. That's what I visualize more, is my community.
Wow.
In 10 years, yeah.
I want
my passions and my work to align with, you know,
my life.
Yeah, I want everything to be fully integrated, and that to me will feel really good knocking on 40, and hopefully I'll be able to do that at, you know, 39, 40 in 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So that feels good to me, and I feel like it's doable. I feel like it's possible. It's all within my reach, you know, because I can control. I need to be able to put my energy into that, and I think I'm doing that now.
Yeah, you are. You're on the way.
Yeah, it's coming.
And I'm very blessed to be a witness of it. That's amazing.
Thank you. Hope you'll be around, you know what I'm saying? You'll see it. You'll see it. All the homies, the queer tribe.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for being my queer tribe, by the way.
Yes.
But I really, really, really appreciate you sitting on my couch with me.
Yes.
And having this conversation with me.
Thanks because, for letting me in your house, you know.
Oh, of course. Anytime. No, but seriously, I feel like if it weren't for the context of a podcast or this episode, mm-hmm. I feel like I don't know if I would have known all of these, like, drawn-out explanations of you. But it's all really beautiful. And
Thank you. I
really hope that everyone can take something away from this. And if you don't, I don't know. I don't know what you're listening to, because it's not Allison Kendricks.
Yeah, I just would encourage everybody to try to live their, you know, their most authentic life, and everything else will flourish. Like, life is really hard. Things will be difficult. But I think, holding on to yourself and how you grow and you evolve is the most important thing.
Thank you.
Yeah.